This is Doug Miller. Salvation has come, friends, and it is a great and a wonderful salvation. Are you in the good of it? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time this side of eternity. Delighted to be back with you again. We are, of course, it's a great privilege, and I'm talking to you and looking through my Bible at the same time to make sure I should have gotten this passage looked up before I got in here, but I've got it now. We're in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to begin. We're going to look at something in the book of Hebrews. Then I want to come back and look in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. So if you want to kind of get your place there, bring your Bible and come along and turn to Hebrews, but also turn to Matthew 22, and then you can just flip back and forth very easily and not have the trouble that I just had because of my ill preparation. And I know you don't want to be poorly prepared, so get your Bibles. Hebrews 2, great book. And I hope you're enjoying this, but I will guarantee you that I am sitting here and talking to you every week at this time out of this fantastic and wonderful book. Book of Hebrews. Bring your Bibles. Come along. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue comes to you every week at this time. Brought to you by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out to as many as we can get it out there to. And it is a great privilege for us to be here and to be able to do this. And, of course, as I remind you all the time, we are utterly dependent on our listeners for prayers, for support. We are just, and it's a good thing to be, good way to do it, to be able to speak the truth and to be able to come in here and just, with no strings attached, be able to tell you what this book says. Some bishop or whoever, you know, isn't going to lay us over the head with a club and say you deviated from our policy there, buddy. So anyway, if I've offended any bishops out there, well, you probably needed to be offended. So don't take it to heart, though. Listen to what I have to say. Okay. We'd love to hear from you out there, those of you who are listening, and always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to answer any questions you have, provide you with any help that we can, and, of course, just it's a great encouragement to us to know that you're out there. We get some of the greatest letters, people who just say, man, you know, we're out here, we're praying for you, but very little more than that many times, and hey, that's great. That's wonderful. It's very encouraging. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, Paul Sublett will give that to you again at the end of the broadcast. So if you didn't get it, keep your writing materials handy. All right, we ended up last time with verses 13 and 14, and we've just got to take these up again. And deal with them a little bit. Didn't really get finished last time. Psalm 110 is what the writer is quoting here. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The writer asks the question, did he say this? Did the Lord ever say this to any angel? And the answer is no. But the Lord Jesus did quote it, didn't he? And let's take a look at that quote, because the last time we were in here, I was arguing and showing as forcefully as I can through the word that is written that Jesus is God. He is nothing less than God. He is everlastingly and forever almighty God, sinless in his perfection, wise, infinite in his wisdom and power. He is God. Now, in Matthew chapter 22, at the end of the chapter, we have the Pharisees, and they're all gathered around Jesus, firing questions at him. You know how they did, always trying to trip him up, always trying to catch him in something and show that he's wrong. And they have just asked him about the resurrection, and he absolutely devastated them with his answer, as he always did. They couldn't answer him. And finally he says, all right, let me ask you a question. He says, what do you think of Christ? Or, as it says in the Greek, the Christ. What do you think of the Christ? All you religious teachers and rulers and leaders here, whose son is he? And the answer that they gave him immediately is, why, the son of David. Yeah, that was the right answer. But that answer alone only caused them trouble because they weren't willing to look at the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. But let's look at it. The Lord Jesus then goes back to the 110th Psalm, which the writer of Hebrews quotes. And Jesus said to these men, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, 110th Psalm, verse 1, here it is, the Lord said unto my Lord, set thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Now, once again, this word Lord here, back, you go back and read the Psalm, Psalm 110, if you have any question about it. And the word Lord that is used by the psalmist is Yahweh. Yahweh said unto my Adon, unto my Lord. Now, if David in the spirit is calling him Lord, my Lord, how is he his son? Now, this is the kind of thing that maybe you just kind of pass over without thinking much about it. But the answer, there's only one possible answer. And that is, if David was calling him back in 1500 B.C., my Lord, then how can one who is the descendant of David, who won't be born until after David, and many years after David, in fact, how can he have existed prior to David and therefore be David's Lord? Are you following this? Might sound a little complicated, might confuse you a little bit, but really it's not. If he was before David, how can he also be after David? And there's only one possible answer. God has to become a man. God is going to be born and come into this earth as a man. And it's interesting that in the Gospel of Matthew there, where the Lord confronts them with this question, it says after that no one asked him any more questions. They didn't want to hear from him anymore. They didn't have the answer, or if they had it, they weren't willing to give it to him. This is clearly a messianic psalm. This is God the Father talking to God his Son, who is also the son of David, incidentally, Messiah, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, God didn't say, back to Hebrews 1 now, at the very end, God didn't say any of this to any angel. He never said to any angel, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He never said of any angel, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He never said, let all the angels of God worship him about or to any angel. And he never said to any angel, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy king. He never did it. He never said any of these things that we've been looking at to any angel. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews is absolutely correct. This one that we are talking about, that we are dealing with, our Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than any angel. There is no angel that can even hope to compete or to compare with him. Now, what are the angels? Well, they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's what they are. They're ministering spirits. Earlier, you know, we have in the 7th verse of the 1st chapter of Hebrews, he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But that's not the Son of God. Now, I want to say something about this 14th verse of chapter 1. Does this mean that we have guardian angels? Well, I don't know if you have an angel, if you're saved, that is assigned to you personally and is your guardian angel. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I do know this, based on this 14th verse of chapter 1 of Hebrews and based on what it says in the 91st Psalm, he shall give his angels charge over thee concerning thee in all thy ways. I know that the angels are sent forth from God to minister to those of us who are saved. And if you're unsaved out there, I don't think you can count on these guardian angels that so many of you like to talk about. They are ministering spirits sent forth for those who are saved, the heirs of salvation. And if you're saved, yes, you have angels who minister unto you, who guard you and guide you in your ways, who hold you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. I think it's very clear here. But the Son of God is seated at the right hand of God the Father in glory. And when he stands up to come forth again, it won't be to minister to us, it will be to take us home to be with himself. Now let's go on into chapter 2. We have in Hebrews chapter 2 this, therefore, in other words, in view of all that I have just said. And what has he just said? Well, he said a great deal. It's very rich what he has said. And therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or literally run by, just pass by. You know, these things are said, we listen to them, they go in one ear and out the other. Is that possibility out there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Many of you out there listening to me right now, you have listened to dialogue and programs like it over and over again. Some of you have sat in churches at length. Some of you may even be preachers. And you're really not saved, and you know very well that you're not saved. This word has gone in one ear and out the other. You had better give earnest heed to it. This great salvation that we are talking about. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or just run by. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, in other words, was true, was absolutely certain. Now this word angels in this verse, verse 2 of chapter 2, may mean supernatural beings, as is clearly the case in chapter 1. It may mean, the word can mean nothing more than a messenger in Greek. It can be a supernatural messenger. It can be just a fleshly messenger. And we have many examples of that. Many examples of messengers who just give the word. Many preachers out there. The word evangelist comes from the Greek word for angel. The word gospel, evangelium, comes from the Greek word for angel. And the word is out there. There are a lot of false preachers out there, a lot of false prophets that are telling lies, and they'll pay for this later on. They'll answer for it. But there are also those who are truly giving out the true gospel. And you are urged here, the writer of Hebrews urges these people that he's writing to. We ought to give the more earnest heed. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Every sin that you've ever committed, every false word that you've spoken, it will be paid for. It will be paid for eternally and everlastingly by the individual who committed the sin, or that individual will come to salvation by accepting the salvation that has been offered to him by God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died to pay the penalty for our sins. It's one or the other. You let this slip. Just let it run by. Just ignore it and let it go on. And there will be no escape. There is no escape, because there is no other way to be saved. You will either take the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved through him, or you'll pay for this yourself. And it is absolutely certain. Every word, every transgression and disobedience. He goes on and says in verse 3 here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Lord Jesus has provided salvation. Now, for those of you out there who are unsaved, you may be sitting there, you know, you don't know if you're saved. And let me just ask you this. If you say, I am saved, when did you first discover that you were lost? If you say, God has saved me, the Lord has saved me, what did he save you from? If you can't look back at a time where you say, right there, I knew I was lost. Right there, I understood that I needed to be saved, that I was going on in lostness and in darkness, that I was on my way to an eternal separation from God. If there was never a time like that for you, friend, you had better ask yourself carefully, am I really saved? The person who is saved has some understanding of what he was saved from. Knows very well that at one time, before he was saved, he was lost. If you're floundering around through life saying, oh, well, I've always been saved. Oh, well, I grew up in the church. Oh, well, I was baptized when I was a kid. Oh, well, there was never a time when I wasn't a Christian. You'd better look at it again, friend. You are in great confusion, and you are in mortal danger of losing your eternal and everlasting soul in hell. You had better look at it again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How do you neglect it? Just ignore it. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do something. Just do nothing. Just, you know, listen to a guy like me, whoever else, maybe turn the radio off, go on your merry way, and neglect it. How shall we escape? By implication, we shall not. And this great salvation, he says, which first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, friends, when we started this study, I used this verse here to show that the writer of Hebrews was not Paul. Paul was directly taught by the Lord. The writer of Hebrews was not directly taught by the Lord. He was taught by those that had heard the Lord. And he is passing this on. And the reason he feels so confident in the truth that they had told him was how God had borne them witness. God the Father had given them signs and wonders and divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. Now, we're going to digress a little bit, and I want to just talk a little bit about what the writer is saying here. In the first place, if you're a Gentile, and you're looking around and you're saying, well, if these guys are telling the truth, let them do a miracle. Forget it. God's not going to do that. The Jews require a sign. The Jews always required a sign. Miracles in the scriptures, whether we're talking New or Old Testament, are almost 100%. Every now and then you'll see one that's not, but almost 100% they are performed and aimed right at Israel. They were the ones that required the sign. Go back and read 1 Corinthians 1. Gentiles, by and large, never required signs. They were the ones who believed, and we are the ones who are blessed because we believed without having seen. We are the ones that the Holy Spirit himself has shown us the things of Christ and raised us up to this great salvation. But these were Jews he was talking to, and he is very careful to tell them because they require a sign that all of the signs were shown. Second thing I want you to notice here, these gifts of the Holy Ghost were according to God's will. He is the one that willed it, and he is the one who distributed the gifts according to his will. Now, if anyone out there tells you, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. You know, don't listen to that kind of thing. Anyone out there who tells you anyone who's received the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues or, you know, heals people or whatever, don't listen to that. God is the one who distributed the gifts, and the gifts, here we have the very the proof of the fact that the gifts were something given to the apostles back in that early day to confirm their message and the truth of their message, mainly to the Jews. And as the apostles died out and as that age passed, these gifts tended to go out with them. If you're standing around waiting to see some miracle before you believe, I've got a word for you from the Lord Jesus. An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, seeks a miracle. The Lord Jesus, talking to the man in the fourth chapter of John, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Well, said the man, no, Lord, come down now or my son will die. Go home. He's well, said the Lord. You don't need to see a miracle from me. Believe. If you don't believe the word, you remember in the 16th chapter of Luke where the man who said, the rich man who was in hell, asked Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to talk to his brothers so they would be saved and not go to hell. Abraham said they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him. Oh, he said, they don't listen to that, but they'll believe if one rises from the dead. Abraham said, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, in other words, if they won't hear the word, they wouldn't be persuaded if one rose from the dead. Now, you who are listening to me out there, the word has gone forth. You have heard the word this morning. Are you going to believe it? Or are you going to wait around and look for some miracle to confirm this to you? Well, I'll tell you what, you'll be waiting a long time. And whatever you get, it won't be from God. If you're waiting for a miracle, I want to remind all of you out there, go read your Bible carefully. When Antichrist comes, he will perform all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles. And he will deceive many. Because that's what they're looking for. Because they won't believe the word, they're going to believe the lie. And the lie will be with signs and wonders. All right? Now we're at the end, friends. Let me emphasize some things to you again. A great salvation has come. Are you going to receive it? If you won't, there is no escape for you. Why don't you, whoever you are, turn to the Lord Jesus right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.